Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5:30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. The Minister for Agriculture says he is committed to eradicating bovine TB from the island of Ireland. Domestic abuse incidents have surged by 74% since 2018 in Donegal. A proposed new hotel at Kerrs Bay Road in Rathmullen has been granted planning permission, and a Donegal deputy says the government must acknowledge that the county has been discriminated against in terms of the provision of healthcare. All these stories in full and more coming up, and Oisin will be here for a sports update at around 6:15. But first, the Minister for Agriculture says he is committed to eradicating bovine TB from the island of Ireland. A major new cross-border pilot project to tackle the disease has been launched in Newton Cunningham today. Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden and his Northern counterpart Andrew Muir were both in attendance. Minister Hayden says he knows firsthand the devastation TB can bring to a family farm.
In New Zealand in particular, the regionalisation of the approach, it was really, really important in eradication. And we can and will get back to a position where we can credibly talk about eradication again. But we've had a very bad time of it. And our farmers have experienced real significant increases on both sides of the border in terms of the increase of the incidence of bovine TB. It has a massive financial impact that we know, but it's really a traumatic thing to happen, a farm family to be restricted and to have their livelihood restricted. I'm a farmer from Kildare, and I remember when we had an outbreak in our family back in the 90s, it was devastating. So we want to reduce that happening to other farm families and ultimately get to a point where, like New Zealand, we can eradicate bovine TB once and for all as well. That takes a really significant investment, and it also takes working with our colleagues across the border. So delighted to have this Shared Island Initiative working with Minister Andrew Muir and colleagues in the north, where the Irish government is putting in €11.7 million towards this pilot project that will run over 5 years, addressing the issues of all the contributors to bovine TB, wildlife, cattle-to-cattle transmission, residual transmission, and carrying out a significant amount of research on both sides of the border in addressing those challenges over a five-year period.
Speaking at the launch, Minister Andrew Muir says he and Minister Hayden have a close working relationship.
Where we're working a cross-border sense around a real key challenge within the farming community, which is around TB. And this is an holistic approach, and it's really good to see the farmers on board, with nearly 90% of farmers subscribing to allow us to be able to do those battery set surveys.
It's clear that you and Martin Hayden have a good working relationship. It augurs well for this project and perhaps for future projects as well on a shared island basis.
Yeah, so Martin's not just a colleague, but he's a friend. And we work together hand in glove on all the different challenges that we face, but also the opportunities around us. And I'm very proud to be Minister of Agriculture in the North and to work with Martin in terms of the South, because we have got a great story to tell to the world in terms of our agri-sector. We produce very high quality food to the highest animal welfare standards, and we're putting our best foot forward.
Domestic abuse incidents have surged by 74% since 2018 in Donegal. Dakota Nick Venman, a councillor in Stranorler, says the statistics are worrying and that the issue can no longer be neglected. Across the county, domestic abuse calls have increased by 24% since 2020, with more than 1,500 calls received by An Garda Síochána in the first three quarters of last year, while 1,057 incidents were recorded during the same period. Councillor Nick Venman says the judicial system is not working for survivors.
And you know, that's a major reason people don't speak up, as they might be living with the person who's abusing them, and they have to choose, you know, do I go out my own and be homeless, or do I stay here, like, where I have a roof over my head? And, you know, it is hard for the victim then if they are seeing that person around, because, as you said, they have to either choose, do you uphold your whole life? Do you move to a different county? What do you do? You know, do you stay where you are and have to deal with them all the time?
What would you like to see going forward?
I think, well, first thing we need is, you know, better investment, definitely, in the services and the guards as well, Garda Síochána. So they need, you know, the more resources to actually have the powers. And what I would love to see going forward is the court system. I would love to see that change, because whilst I understand, you know, we can't just send everybody to prison for certain things, you know, there has to be different levels, you know, but the way the court system is at the minute, you know, things are way too lenient. People are getting away with these offences. You know, they're getting the probation act and then they're going out or whatever. And look, harassment still continues after, you know, they get the probation act. It's just, it's hard to prove that it's still continuing, and that's the big thing.
A proposed new hotel at Kerrs Bay Road in Rathmullen has been granted planning permission. It is to be named the Pier Hotel in honour of the hotel which previously stood on the site until it closed in 2002. The permission is for a four-storey, 37-bedroom boutique hotel incorporating a restaurant, bar, dining area, reception and a rear car park. The layout sets out new public connections and improved street frontage along both Pier Road and Kerrs Bay Road. Councillor Port McGarvey says it's significant development.
The planning has been granted. It's securing a future for Rathmullen and his boss. It's always been very positive. Previously, the Pier Hotel was always the hub of Rathmullen, the main centre point and the meeting point for many people. Today that the planning has been granted, it secures the future for the town and also for creating employment, creating business and also tourism for Rathmullen.
A Donegal deputy says the government must acknowledge that the county has been discriminated against in terms of the provision of healthcare. Responding to comments made by Jennifer Carroll McNeil regarding the loss of the midday Donegal-Dublin flight, which residents use for cancer travel, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin said locals shouldn't be forced to travel for care at all. He accused the government of willful neglect and is calling for it to end. Last week, 14 ambulances were queued outside the emergency department of Letterkenny University Hospital, leaving staff to work in what the deputy described as impossible conditions. The Sinn Féin TD says an admission of fault is the first step needed in an overhaul of the system.
To tell you the truth, I mean, the facts were incontrovertible. You know, that no intelligent minister could ignore what was happening. So it was welcome last year, but there's so much more now that needs to be accepted. We have basically been utterly discriminated against in Letterkenny by the HSE West, by Sail to the Cam before it. That's the facts. It was a very Galway-centric, even though Galway is only 10% of the population, Galway City of the entire region, so much resources were being pushed down there. It was completely unjust. So, you know, we need to have a government, and it never has happened, where a government has accepted and said, yes, our funding model is completely unfair to Letterkenny Hospital. You're having to deal with impossible challenges and a lack of resources. And I think if Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeil could say that out loud, that would be reassuring. And then with timescales, we understand the surgical hub could be 4 years now before it's built. That's completely unacceptable. It needs to be urgent. It needs to be fast-tracked. We need to play catch-up here. So, you know, we need so much more from this minister, and she needs to understand there's been massive failures from her predecessors that came before, and we will not accept second best anymore.
The Stop the Cuts, Support the Kids demonstration is set to take place in Buncrana next week, protesting proposed cuts to SNAs in schools. St Oran's National School is among those affected, with its SNAs set to decrease from 4 to 2.5. The action in Market Square is scheduled to begin at 5 p.m. in Buncrana. The Department of Education has paused the proposed reductions. Fiona, mother of 7-year-old Shifra, who requires an SNA to assist her with type 1 diabetes, says the pause is not good enough. She told the Greg Hughes Show that this will impact all children in the classroom.
I have spoken to who are still in full support of us, but have said, you know, it's not going to affect my child because my child doesn't have an SNA, but it is going to affect every child. It's going to have like a domino effect if the SNA is not in the room and the teacher has to step in. For example, I'm using Shifra as an example,
yeah.
But the teacher has to step in, they are taken away. Like Shifra, I'll give you an example, on Friday, had a really bad day in school, there's a medical device hooked to her stomach. It went off 9 times. So it's a low alarm vibration. You have to physically go on, press the button to let you know that you are aware of it. So it took the SNA 9 times that she had to deal with Shifra that day. 3 of them, she was very low, so it took a good half hour. The other ones would take 10 minutes. So in total, that took probably 2 hours. So if that SNA is taken away, that teacher would have spent 2 hours that day with Shifra when she wasn't teaching. So it is affecting the other children in the class as well. If you don't think it is going to affect, it is going to have a major implication on every child's education.
The leader of the Shannon is to invite Marine Minister Timmy Dooley into the House to debate seaweed licensing. Applications have been made by a number of companies to harvest large quantities of rack seaweed from the west coast, including Aramara Tearanta, which was previously based in Donegal but is now owned by Canadian company Acadian Sea Plants. In the Shannon, Donegal Senator Manus Boyle said traditional harvesters fear handing over seaweed rights to large corporations, which would leave communities with no input into how their land and environment is treated.
I'm calling on the department to exercise thought close examination and foresight when addressing applications from countries that set up as such as to be from Ireland that harvest large quantities of wrack along large sections of the west coast of Ireland. Seaweed forests are living infrastructure. They protect the shoreline and homes from coastal erosion, provide necessary grounds for fish and marine species, support biodiversity above and below the waterline. Removing wrack at industrial scale risks disabling this fragile system. We have all witnessed over the many years how overfishing in Ireland's EEZ by other countries contributed to a massive decline in the Irish fishing industry, and we sadly see that today. So I urge the Minister to have a good look at this. We must protect the small operators who have built their business on respectfully measured approach, harvesting the seaweed down through the years. Leader, this is something that we really need to get the Minister in here and get a proper look at, because, you know, we have foreign multinationals coming in here and, you know, at the end of the day, our own people's there, they're doing it for years, they need to be consulted on this.
Responding, Shannon leader Sean Kyne said it's a complex issue and he'll be happy to facilitate the debate.
Senator Boyle has raised the issue of seaweed and protecting our shoreline, and I'm familiar with this issue in Galway as well, in Connemara. I know that MARA, the Marine Area Regulatory Authority, are those that are involved in the licensing of seaweed, and where there are seaweed rights listed on a person's folio, they're protected. It is a slightly complex area because some of it mightn't all be defined, some of it are part of the Land Commission, but there's historical rights there and there's great attachment in relation to the harvesting of seaweed. So I will request a debate with Minister Timmy Dooley on that matter as well.
It is 18 minutes to 6 here in Highland Radio. Oisin will be here with all the sport after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with running shoes from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It is 5:45 at Highland Radio and Oisin Kelly is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. We're going to start with rugby. Jack Crowley and Tag Burner among five changes to the Ireland team to face England in the Six Nations this coming Saturday. Munster's 10 is preferred to Sam Prendergast, who has dropped completely from the matchday squad. Head coach Andy Farrell has been explaining why.
Sam's a fantastic international player. He's on a journey that's obviously learning like all of us, and that would never stop. It's the same for Kieran Frawley, like, you know, and we've talked all along about the four lads competing against one another, and the balance is right for this team this weekend.
Josh van der Flair and Tag Furlong also get the thumbs up from Andy Farrell to start. There's a 5-3 bench split with no second row cover. Scotland and Wales have also named their teams for Saturday's clash at the Principality Stadium. Blair Kinghorn and Duhan van der Merwe have been drafted in for the Scots after missing out on the opening two rounds. Leicester's winger Gabriel Hammer-Webb will make his Wales debut in Cardiff this coming weekend. To football, Nottingham Forest start life under their fourth permanent manager of the season when they meet Fenerbahce in the Europa League this evening. Victor Pereira leads them into the first leg of their knockout round playoff tie in Turkey. That game has just kicked off. Later, Martin O'Neill takes charge of his 1,000th game in football management. And Celtic's home tie with German side Stuttgart at 8 o'clock. O'Neill is expecting a tricky tie tonight.
Stuttgart are flying at this moment. They're fourth in the Bundesliga. They're in a Champions League position. Had a look at them. Obviously, they're very strong, physical, and got a lot of good players playing for them. So they'll be difficult games for us. But while we're there, just let's go for it.
Crystal Palace boss Oliver Glasner says he wants his side to attack their Conference League knockout round playoff tie from the off. They're in Bosnia to take on Zeeskree this evening. Glasner says their approach will be clear.
It's always going there and go to win the game, and then we see how the game is going. But I don't like to enter the pitch with and say, OK, a draw is fine, because then it's always a little bit passive. No, we want to play football. We want to play to score goals.
While Republic of Ireland striker Troy Parrott is likely to start up front for AZ Alkmaar in their game against Noah in Armenia. Derry City are reportedly in the market for a goalkeeper before Sunday's League of Ireland transfer deadline. The Candy Stripes look set to be without Brian Maher for a few weeks with a broken bone in his hand. Maher watched from the stands as Derry drew 2-2 with Dundalk last week having been between the sticks for the President's Cup match against Shamrock Rovers and the opening game of the season against Sligo Rovers. Teenager Shay Callister may be called upon once again for the visit of Bohemians to the Brandywell tomorrow. In college's Gaelic Games action, ATU Donegal Footballers are through to the Freshers Championship final thanks to today's victory over Mary Immaculate Limerick. ATU were victorious 2 goals and 22 points to 2 goals and 10 points at the Donegal GA Centre in Convoy. Danny Brown and Shane Callaghan done the bulk of the scoring for ATU and both also scored the goals. ATU will play either SETU Waterford or SETU Carlow in the final next week. On the golf front, Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy are both in first round action this evening at the Genesis Invitational in California. Sweden's Ludvig Åberg is the defending champion there. And Leona Maguire has made a strong start at the Honda LPGA in Thailand. The Cavan golfer carded an opening round 67 to sit on 5 under in a tie for 6th, and that's 2 shots off the lead after day 1. To darts, Michael van Gerwen has withdrawn from this evening's Premier League in Glasgow due to illness. His scheduled quarter-final opponent, Luke Littler, will now receive a bye through to the semis. Alex Dunn is reportedly signing for Alpine's Formula One Academy. The Offaly man who finished 5th in the F2 standings last year was released by McLaren last September. And finally, just looking ahead to this evening here in Highland and what's coming up on the Score programme. Anthony Gorman will take a look ahead to Friday night's League of Ireland games for the Northwest sides of Finn Harps and Derry City. We hear from Finn Harps boss Kevin McHugh ahead of the first home game of the season. And indeed, we'll also be hearing from Finn Harps ladies manager Desi McGlinchey, who tells us about their preparation ahead of an historic weekend for a side. Plus, in Gaelic Games, I'll be getting the thoughts off the sideline eyes Sean Casey ahead of Donegal's clash with Armagh in the National Football League Division 1 and their meeting in Division 3 of the Hurling League. That will be all part of the Score programme tonight, presented by Mark Gallagher. It's coming up later, just after the 7 o'clock news, Ryan.
Thanks, Oisin. And the weather generally clear and dry to start tonight, but cloud will start to increase from the west early on. Later in the night, rain and drizzle will move eastwards across the province. Lows of 2 to 5 degrees and moderate southerly winds, increasing fresh later in the night. Mostly cloudy at first tomorrow, rain and drizzle will linger for a time over the east with scattered showers following in from the west. Brighter spells will develop throughout the day with showers continuing. Highest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees in moderate to fresh, occasionally strong southwesterly winds. A look back at today's main stories. The Minister for Agriculture says he is committed to eradicating bovine TB from the island of Ireland. A major new cross-border pilot project to tackle the disease has been launched in Newton Cunningham today. Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden and his northern counterpart Andrew Muir were both in attendance. Minister Hayden says he knows firsthand the devastation TB can bring to a family farm. Domestic abuse incidents have surged by 74% since 2018 in Donegal. Dakota McVenman, a councillor in Stranorler, says the statistics are worrying and that the issue can no longer be neglected. Across the county, domestic abuse calls have increased by 24% since 2020, with more than 1,500 calls received by An Garda Síochána in the first 3 quarters of last year, while 1,057 incidents were recorded during that period. A proposed new hotel at Kerrs Bay Road in Rathmullen has been granted planning permission. It is to be named the Pier Hotel in honour of the hotel which previously stood on the site until it closed in 2002. The permission is for a 4-storey, 37-bedroom boutique hotel incorporating a restaurant, bar, dining area, reception and a rear car park. The layout sets out a new public connection and improved street frontage along both Pier Road and Kerrs Bay Road. And a Donegal deputy says the government must acknowledge that the county has been discriminated against in terms of the provision of healthcare. Responding to comments made by Jennifer Carroll McNeil regarding the loss of the midday Donegal-Dublin flight, which residents used for cancer travel, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says locals shouldn't be forced to travel for care at all. He accused the government of willful neglect and is calling for it to end. Last week, 14 ambulances were queued outside of the emergency department of Letterkenny University Hospital, leaving staff to work in what the deputy described as impossible conditions. That's all from the newsroom for now. Our next bulletin will be at 7 o'clock, and farming news and views with Chris Ashmore will be after this evening's obituary notices.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 19th of February. The death has occurred of Father John McLaughlin, SSC, Chile, Dublin Diocese and Moville. reposing at St Columban, Summerhill, Moville tomorrow from 2 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday at 11:30 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by interment in Ballybrack Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. The death has taken place of William Wallace, 11 Bridge Street, Strabane, formerly of Creggan Derry, reposing at his daughter Natalie Wallace's home at 4 McGurr Park, Strabane. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Millmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of former County Councillor Porrick Doherty of Strand Road, Derry Beg. His remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derry Beg, until Rosary tonight at 8. Removal afterwards to the family home to repose tomorrow from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Private to family and friends only, please. Porrick's funeral mass will take place on Saturday morning at 11 in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Dunluey, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Oroscuidor, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director. The death has occurred of John Joe McGee, Moira Dleeb, Falcara. His remains will repose at his late residence until 9:15 tonight and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 9:15. Rosary nightly at 9:15. House private, please, after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning in St Finian's Church, Falcara at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. The death has occurred of Michael Hegarty, Rivervale, Carorea, Bridgend. His remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St Mirren's Church, Fawn for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Mary McIntyre, née Love, 467 Crohan Heights, Lifford, formerly of Townsend Street, Strabane. Reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:45 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 12:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Bernadette Innes, née McIntyre, 1 Geoffrey Avenue, Waterside, Derry. Reposing at her son David Robinson's home at 30 Brookvale Crescent, Gallia, Derry. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:25 for Requiem Mass in St Joseph's Church, Gallia at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Patrick's Cemetery, Donoughmore. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Conor McBrearty, 5 Points, Killybegs. Removal from McBrearty's funeral home, Killybegs, this evening at 6 o'clock for family and friends. Funeral Mass tomorrow in St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killybegs, at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The Mass will be streamed on mcn.live. The death has taken place of Anne McGrath, 4 Owen Rea Drive, Strabane, formerly of Ballyfatten. Reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Millmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 9 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has occurred at her home of Bridget Williams, née Diver, Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny, formerly of Cosh Claddy, Gwydor. Reposing in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery, Gwydor. The Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Mary's Meals, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. The Department of Agriculture fined 33 farmers in Donegal for the illegal burning of land last year, with only Kerry and Galway having higher figures. Under Section 40 of the Wildlife Act 1976, it's illegal to burn vegetation on uncultivated land between the 1st of March and August the 31st to protect nesting birds and habitats. Land which is found to have been illegally burnt land can be deemed ineligible for payment under the Basic Income Support for Sustainability, that's the BIS scheme, and other area-based schemes. According to a report on Agriland, nationally there were 283 farmers fined for illegal burning of land last year. The definition of a farmer will be broadened under the Forestry Programme Midterm Review. The Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Michael Healy-Ray, has confirmed plans to revise farmer eligibility rules to encourage afforestation. And that could mean significant changes ahead. Donal Magner is contributing forestry editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, and he's been telling me more. Donal, what exactly is coming down the tracks?
I think the interview I did, which is in today's Irish Farmers Journal, with Minister of State Michael Healy-Ray, there's no doubt that he, in that interview, there were a number of subjects came up, such as the low afforestation in the country or new planting. And I think in many ways, he's confronted that last year. Last year, we planted 2,500 hectares, which is way below our targets, but it's the highest planting that has been achieved since 2019. So he's conscious of keeping that momentum going. But the problem is, how do you actually get more farmers in particular to plant, and maybe to get other bodies involved as well? In the interview, he's actually broadening it at the moment. First of all, farmers will be the key, but he's gone outside farmers as well and looking at bodies like HSC, local authorities, who have land out there, as he calls it, wasteland. And a lot of that could be brought into the planting net as well. But as regards farmers, he sees the midterm review is really where you look at a forestry programme at the halfway stage, and the current one finishes in 2027. So this is an opportunity to look at it and see how it can be improved to attract more in, because there's no doubt farmers at the moment aren't that attracted to it. So he looked at the BIS scheme, which as you know, is the Basic Income Support for Sustainability scheme. And for farmers to qualify for that, they have to be 4 years in BIS. And the minister is looking at this, and he's basically saying he's looking at, we'll say, let's say sons and daughters who return to a farm, could be from abroad or from any place, and they haven't been farming. So he's decided these may be casual farmers when they come back to the family farm. But what he wants to do really is to make it easier for those to qualify as farmers. So what he's done with BIS is to, up to now, they have to be 4 years in the BIS scheme. So he's reduced that to one, which he says will be much easier. One is not a long time, because you might apply for planting, we'll say, next month. And by the time you get approvals and by the time you get your foresters working on it, you know, the year goes by pretty quickly. So he thinks he can bring in a lot of what he would call family farms into the afforestation scheme. And what that means really is that at the moment, a farmer qualifies for 20 years premiums, whereas if you're a non-farmer, you get 15 years. Now, the 5 years extra, for example, I outline in the article, I mean, if you plant, we'll say, native species, over 15 years, you'll get about 171,300 for a 10 hectare project, a forestation plant. But by getting the 5 years extra, that brings the income up to 228,000 for the extra 5 years and for the 20 years in total. So that's a big jump, and it's something that farmers got in the last agreement, whereas farmers would get a longer period than non-farmers, and that would be more attractive for farmers and might be less attractive for commercial non-farmers to enter the market.
And worth pointing out, of course, that compared with our EU colleagues, the level of afforestation here in Ireland is pretty low.
It's very low. I mean, if you look around in Europe at the moment, apart from Malta, which is only 1%, we're marginally higher than the Netherlands, but in the Netherlands about half the size of Ireland with a population of, 18 million. So we're very low per capita in Ireland. We're 11.5% at the moment. And I think a number of projects, including the Irish Climate Action Plan and another project, believed that we could increase our forest cover from 11.5% to about 18% without necessarily reducing agricultural productivity. A lot of that is wasteland. And as the minister pointed out, he is looking at what he calls peaty soils, which there's a big question mark over at the moment. And he just wants to show Europe and he wants to show, stakeholders here in Ireland that we could plant some peaty, shallow peaty soils. There's no question, as he says, of going back and planting deep peats, but he thinks that there is more land out there that we could plant without necessarily reducing agricultural output.
And finally, Donal, just in relation to the whole licensing for afforestation and for the felling of trees, there have been improvements after what were several years that there was quite a lot of dissatisfaction.
Yeah, there was huge dissatisfaction up to about 2 or 3 years ago, and basically anyone could object. And there were a lot of laptop warriors around the country just objecting. Everybody has a right to object or to appeal a planting scheme. I mean, that's fair enough. But it was a blanket. Appeals and objections were going on around the country. That has been sorted out to a degree. Now, there's still a delay in licences, and even when the department issue a licence, it can be contested. But the licensing system really is in three areas. It's for people who want to plant to get a licence to plant, and it's for existing forest owners who want a licence, for example, to fell, or who want a licence to make a road into a forest. And, most European countries, anytime I went to countries like Sweden and Finland, they're a very flexible system in relation to thinning. You literally can thin. You get a permit. There's no long delay. And I think we should be aiming at that. But in the meantime, there's definitely sufficient timber licensed out there to actually keep the industry growing. I think, what he wants to do, the minister, is to make it as easy as possible. And yet, while at the same time acknowledging that people have a right to appeal, but at the same time, I think somebody, let's say in Cork or Kerry in the past, who could just look at all the licences coming in and object to a licence in Donegal or Mayo, I think that has slowed down and has almost stopped in certain people who would be, say, serial objectors. So I think we're getting to that, and he's talking as well. He says he's talked to Bord Pleanála about that as well. Because, we can't have it both ways. If Climate Action Plan is insisting or suggesting, at least, that we move from 11.5% to 18% forest cover by mid-century, well then, there has to be a bit of give and take in that, and that has to apply to licences as well.
And that was Donal Magner, contributing forestry editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, a sheep meeting and lambing workshop will be held on Wednesday, the 25th of February at 7:30 in the meeting room of Inishowen Co-op in Carndonagh, with a guest speaker from Carn Vet Clinic, who will be discussing health management at lambing. All are welcome. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.